Once again, here's Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, who are keenly aware that dogs have owners and cats have staff.
This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line, Amanda Vogel, who happens to be a musher, and she's in charge of the Snomad Racing Sled Dogs. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Hi, thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Amanda, can I ask you, how did you get into sled dogging or sledding, or I guess mushing is probably the best way to describe it?
I actually had never owned a dog before in my life, and I had bought a Malamute and a German Shepherd at the same time. And I was concerned that these are large dogs and they're full of energy, and I didn't want them to eat the house. So I spoke to the breeder of the Malamute and asked her what the best way to exercise these dogs would be. And she was a recreational musher, and so she introduced me to the sport. She said, just go ahead and buy a kitty sled at Kmart and sit on it in a little harness and see if he'll pull you. And both of them did, and I just thought it was a blast.
And then from there, you decided that I'll find myself some cross-country trails, and they built up to it. I mean, what was the evolution like?
Well, there's recreational clubs all over the U.S., particularly in Michigan. There's Mid-Union Sled Haulers, or MUSH. They can be found at midunionsledhaulers.com. There's also MIDD, which is, I believe it's Michigan Dog Drivers. They're a little bit more mid-distance. The first one is more sprint, seven-mile races, those sorts of things. And the mid-distance steps it up a little bit to about 50-mile races.
Okay. And when it comes to the relationship with the dogs, how did your relationship with the dogs change when they started doing this? I mean, behaviorally, what did you observe?
Well, these are working breeds, and so they live. I mean, they were tickled. Even the German Shepherd was probably a better mushing dog than the Malamute was. He had more speed. The Malamutes are built more for endurance and slow pace. Mm-hmm. But they just have that drive to be doing something for you, because they have that relationship with you and that drive. Happier dogs if they have something to do.
Now you grew up in Michigan, but you don't live in Michigan now, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm up by International Falls, Minnesota. I'm up by the Canadian border in the icebox of the nation.
I was going to say, isn't that where it's always like 42 degrees below zero?
Absolutely, yes. I think our record is 55 or something like that.
Yeah, I would imagine as far as being rough and tough and capable of handling the bad weather, it's a pre-sorted type thing. Anybody that's actually there probably is already pre-sorted for doing something like this.
I definitely think you have to enjoy the outdoors to live up here. You know, I mean, you need something to do in the winter.
So what are some of the characteristics that is pretty common among mushers, and how do you fit in being a female? Does that make any difference? Is there a lot of female mushers, or is that more of a, you know, less typical, or is that more common? And what are the commonalities, whether you're male or female?
What I've noticed is, you know, I started, like I said, at the shorter 7-mile races, and I'm working my way up. I'm at about 150-mile races right now, and so the next step will be 250 for me. And I've noticed that the longer distances we're traveling for a race, it seems to be I'm competing against less female mushers.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it might just be that the distance mushing starts separating a little bit, but that's not the hard and fast rule. There's plenty of wonderful, we call them distance divas out there making their mark.
Is there a long-term goal you have of a specific distance? You know, we certainly have chatted with others about the Copper Harbor, and what was the other one?
The UP200.
Yeah. And,
sure, the Copper Dog and the UP200. The UP200 is my next goal. That hopefully will happen next year.
Uh-huh. Do you have a lot of dogs or just a few? Do you have just enough to pull, or somebody that's going to be having these mushing, is there a lot of dogs needed?
I think that probably you should have at least 24 dogs to be competitive at about 150 miles.
Okay. Okay. And how many actually pull? You want to remind me? I mean, how many will you
that's
have?
That's a good question. For a 150-mile race, that's usually about a 10-dog race.
Okay.
If you're at 60 to, you know, 80, 100 miles, you can do that with 8 dogs. And
okay.
just as the distance goes up, you know, the 250, that's a 12-dog race. 350 is a 14-dog race. And, of course, the Iditarod is a 16-dog race.
Now, do you do this as a livelihood, or do you have a day job?
I, unfortunately, still have a day job.
Okay.
I don't have enough sponsors yet. But it's a lifestyle. I mean, regardless, the day job is sort of almost what doesn't quite fit into your life. You know, if I have injured dogs, a typical day would be to get up at 2:30 in the morning, start massaging dogs, you know, gooping feet, soaking feet, whatever needs to be done. You know, and then go ahead and head outside for chores for the other dogs, feed the dogs, scoop the dogs. And then when, you know, I have to go to work, and when I come home, it's time to hook up, and you can run 60 miles after work. And so, of course, you're coming in the middle of the night and then get up and do it all over again.
Are you pretty exhausted every day, or is this something that you've kind of conditioned yourself to?
There's been only one day when I found myself laying on my back looking up at the stars in the kennel where I didn't quite make it inside. But usually I at least make it inside before I fall on my back, yeah.
Amanda, I have a question about the dogs in terms of your relationship with the dogs. When they're running, how long of a shift do they typically run before they need to rest? Because even the strongest dogs, I would imagine, get tired and need a break.
Sure. It's dogs, like Iditarod dogs and that sort of thing, they can go easily 100, 120 miles a day. My dogs, I have them trained at, let's see, I think the longest legs of the races that I did this year was a 70-mile leg, rest for a few hours, 60-mile leg, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even at 12 miles, they never cease to amaze me. It doesn't matter what miles we're going. Every time I get behind them, I'm just in awe of their athletic capabilities.
And how do you keep their attention span really focused? Because I would imagine that some of the areas that you're going through, there's a lot of nature out there. And unfortunately, an animal runs across or something to distract them. How do you keep them focused on the race?
Even just in training runs, you know, yesterday or the day before yesterday, you find random things on the trail. You'll find wolf kills, you'll find deer, you know, this and that sort of thing. And on another day, I happened to pass two hunters who looked extremely terrified, and I couldn't imagine why, as, you know, I blew by with my team. And here, 100 yards down the trail is their deer kill, their deer laying in the middle of the trail. And, of course, I'm assuming they thought, oh, my gosh, the 12 dogs are going to get the deer. But you train them to go on by. You train certain commands, and hopefully they listen.
I would think that just because there's a collection of dogs all moving in the same direction, it's even more difficult for each one of them to be distracted. They're just the way the motion goes, they all go. Would that be true or no?
In general, with focus, I just see that some younger dogs, you know, yearlings, they're a little easier distracted. If you know, a grouse or something flies up from under the snow next to the trail, they're a little more curious about it than the veteran dog. They're used to it.
Is this really only the toughest can kind of really do this? Do you find that the people that you meet, you know, it's like, is there a certain characteristics about the individuals that meet, or do we have the wrong impression? It would certainly seem that it would have to be that way.
When I first started into mushing, I remember a veteran musher telling me, you're going to have thick skin. And when you ask the question, too, about is there anything different about women or anything that's been a different experience for you, personally, that's something that I've had to toughen up a little bit, because you really have, you know, the best and the worst of times behind the dogs and at races and on training runs. And you never know what to expect, and you have to be prepared and ready for anything. And that's something that I've had to do, is kind of thicken up my skin a little bit, you know, because there's going to be as many failures as there are successes.
It is weight an issue for the individuals that want to mush? I mean, is it important that you're, let's say, be low 150 pounds, or does it not make any difference? I would imagine to the dogs, they'd want to pull less weight rather than more.
Certainly, it may make, you know, a very slight difference. There's no hard and fast rule. It's not like jockeying horses, but certainly you may have a very small advantage to being a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. But that's something that can be made up with if somebody trains harder or trains better or has better dogs. You know, it's really up in the air.
It's pretty liquid. And the mm-hmm. type of dogs that you actually use in this race, are they typical of all the dogs that are there, or does each musher have their own particular breed preference or their own mixed breed preference is there a lot of variety?
Mainly in mid-distance and distance racing, you're racing against Alaskan Huskies. That's what I have. That's a Siberian mixed with anything fast. There's a lot of Pointer and Hound mixed in. But you keep the northern breed so that they're still protected from the snow, their eyes and their paws and their bellies and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there are still some Siberians, and actually I know of one Siberian kennel out here out of Duluth, Minnesota, Trekking. They're doing fabulous with Siberians. Normally Alaskan Husky mushers would consider Siberians Slowberians, but they're really excelling. They're doing well.
Hmm. Amanda, I have a question, and forgive me for revealing some of my failings, but I have a terrible sense of direction, especially when I'm in the middle of nowhere. How do you keep from getting lost?
Seriously?
Seriously.
I'm the worst. I have the worst sense of direction. I'm so lucky that my lead dogs have a better sense of direction. There's times where I'll give them a command and they'll kind of turn back at me like, whatever, Mom, it's this way. You just kind of trust them. In fact, at the last race, I came in really groggy and, you know, after however many miles, and I parked the team and my handler was tending to the team, and I went away from the team to take a nap, and when I woke up, I thought, where's my team? And I had to wander for a while to try to find my team. It took me a few tries to find my way back to the team, so I'd be lost without them.
Well, luckily they didn't have to send a helicopter to find you, so I'm one up on you. But
right.
As another question, I was reading a story about your lead dog or your retired lead dog. Tell me a little bit about how a dog becomes a lead dog and what kind of personalities do they typically have?
You know, Buzz has done the I did her out a couple times, and she travels with me to schools and talks to kids about the I did her out and Alaska, whatever it is, and teachers would like to discuss leadership skills, those sorts of things. So she's a fan favorite. The crowds love her. She's a good kid, and she loves the kids. But as for a lead dog, it's kind of interesting. Dogs have all different kinds of personalities. Even within the same litter, you can have really, really huggy dogs, and then you have dogs that aren't as interested in humans as they are racing or being on the trail. They're not quite as interested in being social with humans. But if they're a phenomenal leader, you accept that and you respect that, and you know, and you move on. In fact, my main leader right now, if I were to walk out there right now and squat down and put my hand out to say, come here, let me give you a hug, he wouldn't. He'd turn his nose up at me and watch me.
Well, I understand how that can work. Amanda, I'm sorry to say we're out of time, but we want to wish you the best of luck with this weekend's race at the Copper Dog 150 and for Mush for a Cure, which you're going to be doing as well. So we wish you the best of luck. We've been speaking this morning with Amanda Vogel, who is the team leader of the Snowmad Racing Sled Dogs. And after the break, we're going to continue the conversation about the Copper Dog 150 right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link.